Turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 56. For some few of you, this is going to be reminiscent of things a few years ago when we took 8 years to get through the book, The Prophecies of Isaiah. We're only doing one verse today, verse 8 here in chapter 56. To get some context, we'll read all 12 verses, beginning with verse 1. And verse 1 starts out, actually, the way it's always implied in all of Scripture, "Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, 'The Lord has utterly separated me from his people.' Nor let the eunuch say, 'Here I am, a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also, the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of Jehovah to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord Jehovah, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. All you beasts of the field come to devour, all you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his own territory. Come, one says, I will bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today, and much more abundant. And may God bless to us the reading, hearing, and preaching of his word today. We are looking at verse 8. You see it printed there, the Lord God, and the word God is there in small capital letters. That signifies that the name of Jehovah is there. So we properly read, the Lord Jehovah, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. Yet I will gather. This is what Jehovah says. It is yet to happen, but it will come to pass. It not merely shall come to pass. This isn't talking merely about something that's in the future. It is a direct exercise of the sovereign will, the gracious purpose of the covenant God, Jehovah. Now the context here, as you read with me, is the despair of those who have thought they are broken, they are useless, they are so far away and hopelessly lost in sin, and they are rejected completely by God. We've seen that in the first at least 5 verses there. And did you note the grief in my voice? Could you hear the sadness? It overtook me as I was reading it. But here in verse 8, and actually somewhat in verses 6 and 7 as well, Here's a reply to that grief, to that deep loneliness, the shame, the guilt, and despair. And who is it that makes the reply? You know, it's not just some psychologist who tries to explain things away. It's not someone who sends pink thoughts and good vibes, right? It is the Lord Jehovah. This is an unusual phrase here, the Lord Jehovah. The word Lord there, in regular letters, we might say, capital L and then lowercase ORD, translates the Hebrew word Adonai, which is what we usually substitute for Jehovah. But here it's not substituting anything. It's the direct word Adonai. And he is that. He is Lord. He's sovereign. He's strong. He is all powerful to do all his holy, righteous, gracious, and everlasting purposes. That's what the word Lord there points us to. As well, he is Jehovah. It is too bad that the Jews, in over-scrupulosity, most of the time, would not use his name, because it's a precious name. Now, is it wrong not to? No. For in the New Testament, Jesus quotes, and he says, Lord. It's right there in the Greek, Kyrios. The word is not changed into Jehovah in the New Testament. So it's not wrong to use that phrase. But I could wish that the Jews then and the Jews now would use the name. They will not say it. In fact, to write out God, they put G-D in English. Or they will just say the name, as in the name told me this, or the name says in Revelation here. You know, they won't say it. But it's a precious name, because it speaks of God's involved in his very being is his grace, his goodness that we so often talk about. And it's an eternal purpose that does not change. He is who he is, and he does not change. Oh, we change. We're so fickle, we so often fall off into sin. But his everlasting purposes of, for the sake of his glory, saving a multitude that no man can number, that does not change. His everlasting, gracious purposes do not change. So he is the gracious God who forgives sin and iniquity, as he told Moses as he passed by him, and as we just, again, read about in our call to worship in Psalm 103. This is the one, right here, who says these words that we are to consider. And so, believer, what you should always give heed to God's word. But believer, give heed. This is your God. This is your triune Savior. This is your Father in heaven who is speaking to you. You are where you are. You are a child of God. You are a citizen of the Holy Jerusalem. You are a spiritual descendant of Abraham because of the mercies of the Lord Jehovah. You are there, you are here, maybe I should say, due to the person and work of your Savior, Jesus, Jehovah in the flesh. Are you not in Jesus yet? Oh, you poor sinner. There is mercy for you if you will come. You need to pay heed here too. one far more powerful than your sin. As overwhelming as it may seem to you, one far more powerful than your guilt is willing to save sinners like you. And he is the one who is speaking here. Give him heed. So he says in verse 8, he gathers the outcasts of Israel. That is what he does. He gathers the lost sheep. That is the first thing to see. Now, there aren't many of us, aren't many of you like me, that have a strong Jewish ancestry. And maybe not many of you know any Jews. There aren't too many around here. It's a surprise, it's a shock. It's a delight to me that I can find Jewish food at Kroger's. I can't understand where the market is in Belle Fountain. But what hope these words give to the Jews, what hope this gives to us in our evangelism of them. For this is the message of Paul hundreds of years later, 700 years later in the book of Romans in chapter 11. When he speaks of the fact that God in the last days, as the fullness of the Gentiles, the last of the Gentiles are being brought in under the gospel, being grafted into the stock of the olive tree, the one people, the one church of God, why the Jews will be restored. Even now, some are being. My dad was. There are others that you may know who have been. God is gathering them in. Jesus is gathering them in. He is gathering the outcasts of Israel. But we have to remember that not all Israel is of the flesh and blood of Abraham. Each one of you who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and, you know, there's a little bit of Scots-Irish here, isn't there? And there's some German. There's some French. There's some Japanese. There's some Italian. There are other ethnic things here. You've been grafted in. You have been grafted in. How wonderful that is. You partake of the same root and stock. You are bound in to Jesus Christ and to his people, the one people of God who have existed since the first seedling was there, the seed of faith that was put into Adam and Eve there with the first promise of and the first sacrament of the gospel. So, the Church of Jesus Christ is the New Testament Israel today. Now, this has some implications. Are you baptized into Jesus Christ? Do you have kids who've been baptized into Jesus Christ? Have you wandered away? Have you outright run away? Come back. Come back. The good shepherd seeks you. Jesus has a parable about that. We'll be looking at in a few weeks as we get into Matthew 18 somewhat. Are you now trapped? Are you now scared, utterly helpless due to your sin and guilt? Do you read these words here and think, is there any hope for me? Is he speaking to me? Oh, it may well be, wandering one. It may well be. Through his word, do you hear his voice faintly over the moors? Can you hear a faint echo of his voice when you are down in a deep, dark glen? Trapped, desperate in your sin, call out to him and he will find you. He will find you. And here is good ground for you parents with children. Little ones, maybe grown with children of their own who have strayed far away or they've just outright run away. Call to your covenant God. Call to the good shepherd for your children's sake. Plead the promises such as we find in Genesis 17, verse 7. I will be a God to thee and to thy seed after thee. Who knows how God may use your prayers? Maybe not even in your lifetime. But he may well use them to speak in the ears of these straying ones, of these running away ones. He may yet draw them back. But that's not all. I mean, this is wonderful so far. This is fantastic so far. But there's more. There's more. The Lord Jehovah, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, yet, or even more, I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. The Lord Jehovah has more. Again, he will. This is his purpose. He will. This is his plan. He will. He brings it up to pass. He will bring more to him. To whom? Who is this him that Jehovah is speaking of here? He is speaking of Jesus, the one who is Jehovah in the flesh. The one who embodies in himself, who is the personification of the Israel of God. He is the one who is named the reason, named what he is for the reason that he shall save his people from their sin. And our Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, verse 16, that he has other sheep. He has other sheep. Them he brings in to make one fold under himself, the one shepherd. Now, who are these others? They may be from other lands and peoples. The gospel went to other lands, even as Jesus commanded in his great commission. Newly made mediatorial king, as he commanded shortly afterward, as he ascended, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world, ends of the earth. And the disciples, the apostles went out. And those taught by them went out. They went out to Asia. They went out to Africa, beginning with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. They went out to Europe. They've come to the farthest reaches of the Pacific Ocean. They have come to the Americas. The gospel has gone forth, and Jesus has drawn and is drawing peoples from many, many lands. These people may be folks who are lost in darkness, lost in despair and death. They may be from persecuting nations. They may be from enslaving nations. They may be from nations who, for a time, were directly under a curse pronounced by God in his word. And they may be from faraway nations with different skin colors. We're going to sing after a while here from Psalm 87. And it speaks of all those. All these different people Jesus brings in. He has said in the Great Commission, these, and it's as if he points around the world. These lands, these cultures, these peoples, they're mine. They're mine. Bring them in. Are you from far away? Maybe you're listening to my voice at another time and in a place thousands of miles from where I am right now. You're listening to me over the internet. Or maybe you're listening to me on a CD or a DVD that someone in your village has brought in. Maybe you're listening to a translator who every once in a while pauses and gives my words to you, more to the point, God's words to you in your own language. But though you be far, far away, Jesus is bringing in others. The Father, by His Spirit, is bringing in others. And you may come too. You are welcome to come. Because as we read here, I will gather to Him others besides those who are gathered to Him. But there are others. Does that seem confusing? There are others who are far away. It might not be that they are far away by miles or kilometers or any physical distance. They may be very nearby. They may be just houses away from us. They may be in our very own families. But they are far, far away in their sin. But to them, Jesus calls to. For them, there is a promise. In fact, sinner, from such people as you, this promise has been, is being, and shall be fully fulfilled. Blind sinners, they're receiving their sight. Deaf sinners, why, they hear the call of Jesus. Foolish sinners are being made wise unto salvation through His word. Dead sinners are coming out of the grave like Lazarus. Spiritually speaking, they are being born again. Unclean sinners are consecrated to the Holy God. Trapped sinners are made free by the One who makes free indeed. Embarrassed sinners are being made joyful. Despairing sinners are being given faith. And lonely sinners, they're being brought in to a Father in heaven, to brothers and sisters that will love them and be loved by them forevermore. Do any of these describe you? Or maybe you're a combination of them. But these are the kind of sinners that Jesus saves. These are the kind of sinners whom the Father gives to the Son. These are the kind of sinners that Jesus says, come to me to. All are invited, any are accepted, and such, believer, such were some of you. As Paul was led by the Spirit to write in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Now I speak to you, believer. Once you were dying. Yes, in fact, once you were dead. Dead spiritually speaking. Unable to do anything to make yourself commended to God. You were starved and miserable. And look what's up front here. You partake of the wedding feast of the Lamb. Now you sit at the banqueting table that's spoken of in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4. You fed on worthless, accursed husks before. But now by faith, now in a spiritual but very real way, you feed upon Jesus. You feast upon Him. He has drawn you with love. Come to His table and rejoice in your brothers and sisters. Rejoice in your beloved. Rejoice in your Savior. For He will gather, and He has gathered you in. Come and welcome to Him. Come and welcome to His table. Amen.